No. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Yes. Have you met people like that?
No.
Who are one minute yes, 1 minute no, 1 minute yes, 1 minute no? Well, we deal with a special breed of people. And this breed of people are very peculiar. They're very unusual. They're very different. This breed of people that we deal with are called practitioners. Now, a practitioner cannot be a yes-no person. A practitioner can be only a person who observes whatever they want to observe, and whatever they observe is what is. Now, if a practitioner observes an appearance, and the appearance is not something that they want to observe, then they empower that appearance to be a reality. Now, people go to a practitioner and say, practitioner, I'm dying. Practitioner, I'm poor. Practitioner, I hate everybody. Practitioner, everybody hates me. And they give you all this sort of stuff. And so, we've been watching the dog whisperer. And when the dog whisperer would enter into people's homes, he knew why they were calling him, because they told him. They told him on the phone, we'd like to have you come over and take care of our pet who's having this problem. But he goes to their home. Now, the practitioner, so to speak, goes to the person. And what is it that the dog whisperer asks of the people first off?
How can I help you?
How can I help you? Now, they might have changed their attitude from the time that they called on the phone and got him over there and so on. They might have realized that they've got a different handle on things and they can handle it differently or not. But Mr. Caesar Milan, he does not pay attention to that. He says, how can I help you? Well, they may have said over the phone to him, our dog bites people and he is vicious and he is not easy to get along with, and he really is a lover, but he just acts like this here. And then when you go to the house and the people are there and the dog is there and the dog is leaning up against the owner, just all protective and loving, and Milan says, all right, now, what can I do for you? They may have a whole different perspective. Well, I love my dog, and now all of a sudden we're coming into a whole different thing. Not a vicious dog who's out terrorizing the neighborhood. That may be a fact too. But all of this love. Now, when the dog whisperer looks at the dog, he says, no problem here. There, which points to the people, is a problem, but no problem with the dog. The dog is just acting like a dog, doing what we expect him to do. We expect him to be a guard dog or protect our family or protect our home, and he gets that message, and then he goes into gear to do that, and so it's a problem. And so, when the dog whisperer comes into the house, he sees that you don't really want the dog to be a guard dog. You sort of like that, but you don't really want it. You don't really want the dog to be vicious. You sort of like it because you can handle him and somebody else can't. And you see, there's this duality that goes on there. And so he wants to get past all that duality and get down to what is the crux of the problem. If you have a naughty little boy, well, how do you straighten him out? You straighten him out by recognizing that he is a little boy And this is how you work with little boys to have them be cooperative, loving, and fine. Now, he works with the little boy to be loving, kind. He works with the dog to be obedient, disciplined, controlled, happy dog. And the dog is happy when he is disciplined, obedient, and controlled. The dog is happy when it's a disciplined dog, obedient dog, and a controlled dog. The dog is not happy when he has to do things he's not able to do. When a little child is asked to act like an adult in an adult situation and still be a little child, the little child says, "What do I do, Daddy? What do I do, Mommy?" You know, and they don't know. So, the practitioner has this same problem. The practitioner works with people and has to decide whether they're going to be concerned for the people, concerned for the circumstances, concerned for whatever it is. They have to decide. What's the priority that they're dealing with? Now, the priority they're dealing with, let's just say a person comes to you with a cancer situation, and they say they don't want this cancer. And you say, well, the practitioner is speaking, and the practitioner says, "I see you whole and perfect." And they say, "Well, I sure wish I had your eyes." And you say, "Well, I see you whole and perfect. And I have my thought so clean about you, I do not have one idea in my thinking about you that is not perfection. You're perfect. I look at you and I see you perfect. I look at you and I see you healthy. I look at you and I see you wonderful. But, no. You see, I don't have cancer. I don't have those problems. But did you ever have a problem like that? That's not the point. I don't have it. Now, I don't have it because I am not empowering those sort of thoughts in my life. Now, you see, why is it that a doctor goes into infectious wards and infectious patients and doesn't become infected himself, you know? Well, he doesn't become infected himself because he does not allow those type of thoughts to be in him. That is a disease that he will get. He doesn't allow that. He just goes in to work on the patient so that the patient no longer has that disease. And so that's what he's doing. Now, some doctors who are in epidemic situations and they're working around the clock and they're working hard with people and their energy is low and their resistance is low and so forth, and they feel surely they'll get it. They don't. Why? Because those are thoughts. All illness, everything in life is a thought. So now, how can you be an outstanding practitioner? Well, you are an outstanding practitioner by only seeing the truth. Now, what is your original purity and integrity? Is it disease and unhappiness? What is your original purity and integrity? That's your original purity and integrity. Now, this is what the doctor sees. He sees your original purity and integrity, and he does everything to help you see it by washing away all the illusions, by working with you and releasing the illusions. Well, now, what do you as a practitioner do? Do you help people wash away the illusions? No. Do you help people wash away the diseases or unhappiness? No. If you do that, you
give it power.
Give it power. You give it the right to exist. You give it the right to continue. And that's unfortunate. Now, what you do as a practitioner is you say, "I am the Christ, and I have the eyes of the Christ, and I can only see you in your ideal, your original purity and integrity. I don't see you whole and perfect, because there is no whole and perfect. I see you in your original purity and integrity." Your original purity and integrity is a perfectly functioning body, a perfectly functioning mind, a perfectly functioning all. You understand? No. It's not whole or not whole. It's just a perfectly functioning thing. You don't put wholeness with something that's perfectly functioning. Something that you put wholeness with is with something that's not functioning perfectly. So, if you are a practitioner and you say, the divine in me, the Christ in me, the God in me, or whatever, I can only see what?
Perfection.
Your original purity and integrity. See, I want you to use the words that I'm using because that's the best way to learn them, you know. Okay? I want you to see the original purity and integrity. Now, how and where do you find the original purity and integrity, Ingeborg? Where do you have to go to get it? Where is it when it's hiding?
It is hiding within.
Well, it's not hiding, but it's within. Yeah. And so you go within, and then you find that it's not hiding. You go within, and it's just laying right out there, taking a sun bath, you know, and saying, gee, this is nice around here, it's pleasant, and so forth. And then you say, well, come on out. Shine on the outside, but I am on the inside. Well, how do you do that? By having thoughts that reflect the inside and the outside. Now, where is your divinity?
Within.
Where is your original purity and integrity?
Within.
Right, and? Where is your original purity and integrity?
Within.
Yeah, that's right. I just thought maybe you would have another point of view. Your original purity and integrity is my reality. My original purity and integrity is who I am. It's within, it's true, and it's without, too. But it's all.
Where is it?
Yeah, well, where is it, and stuff like that. But, you see, I want you to think in every thought you have, you're in your original purity and integrity. With every thought you have, you are divine. With every thought you have, you are not whole and perfect.
I am my original purity and integrity.
Now, you see, we have taught that you're whole and perfect. And we've taught you to use the phrase, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. It does get your mind in a better frame. But now, ask yourself this before this moment right now. Ask yourself this. If I said to you, I'm whole and perfect, you say, oh, sure. If I said to you, I am my original purity and integrity, you see, well, that's just sort of an idealistic point of view. That's just something, you know, people talk about, but nobody has. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Everybody has it. Now, what kind of a practitioner are you? And start out with yourself first. Start out with yourself. Do you take the time to walk around the campus here and do these things? Do you take time to follow through on suggestions that I make to you? And the answer is no. The answer is no. You say, Herb, you're full of that sort of stuff, you know? Yeah. I say, Ingeborg, please sit down and let someone else take the dishes, and that way you don't have to step over Rex, you know. And Ingeborg still gets up, and she still reaches out, and then Ellen comes along, and she says, Ingeborg, didn't you hear what Herb said? And Ingeborg said, well, yes, of course, but I wanted to do it. Ingeborg, didn't you hear what Herb said? Well, yes, but, you see, and now Ingeborg was not being mean or bad. She just wanted to be part of the activity of picking up the dishes and cleaning the table and doing all the good things that she likes to do. Now, why did I say, Ingeborg, sit and let Ellen do it? I said, Ingeborg, sit and let Ellen do it because I wanted Ingeborg to have the opportunity to sit and let Ellen do it. I wanted Ingeborg to say, yes, Herb, you're my teacher. Yes, Herb, when you give me a suggestion, I follow it. Yes, Herb, when you tell me something to do, I do it because I know there's something in it that I may not see for me at the moment. And I tell you all, please, everybody here, every time you get up, take a moment and move your leg back and forth Then lift up your other leg and move it back and forth once, twice, three times, 10 times. And I guarantee you, after 1 week, you will have an experience that you never dreamed possible of balance and harmony. And you're not doing it. You're not doing it. Ingeborg gets up there and gives a half-baked this and that. Sylvie gets up there and doesn't do it at all. And Ellen gets up there and wants to make sure that everybody sees that she's doing it. You see, you do this for yourself. You're not doing this to put on a show. You're doing this for the benefit that comes to you.
That's
but
why
now,
in life.
You all attended the School of the Master 3 months long. Mm-hmm. And you all had a lot of good out of it. There's a lot of great benefits that came to you, and you know it. But all through the School of the Master, you were tough little angels to work with, because you thought you knew better than what you were being asked to do. And you did one thing that will keep you from being God. Wow, what did we do? You were logical, reasonable. Remember?
Yeah.
God is neither logical nor reasonable, and you were logical and reasonable about everything that I asked you to do. Remember the putting glasses of water on the table? Or I want a glass of water. But what about all the other? And closing the door behind you, even if there's somebody else walking in. There's nobody there. I tell you, you're the only person here. You see, and if you're logical and reasonable, you can't go along with a game like that. And if you're logical and reasonable, then you're not, you're divine. Because God is neither logical nor reasonable. Remember that. But you see, I tell you this, and you say, well, Herb, teach us some magical principle. Well, my friends, I'm showing you the dog whisperer for one reason. The dog whisperer uses one or two very simple, basic things to train the dog, and instantly the dog is there. Now, there are three things. Who can give me one?
The leash.
The leash up high on the neck, so that when he holds the dog there, the dog can be brought back to a one-pointed attention, and the dog doesn't have anything else to do except pay attention to whatever is being done. All right, now, the leash. Now, what's another thing?
Instant correction.
Instant correction, that's with the leash, okay. Now, what's another thing?
That's his determination.
He knows what he is doing. He has a confidence and a knowingness within himself of what he's doing, and he believes in himself. Mm-hmm. He believes the program he is doing works. And then, what is the action that he has all of them do? The simple, idiotic, stupid action that you'd think everybody would do, but what does he have them do?
Discipline.
He has them take a walk with their dog.
Yeah, that's true.
The third thing is he has them take a walk with, in fact, that's his first thing.
Uh-huh.
But he has them take a walk. When he sees them walk with the dog, he sees how they act. Now, when he sees them lift their hands up to their chest with their leash in their hand, sort of frightened and scared that the dog is going to pull or something, then he says, put your hand down, relax. Expect the dog is going to stand next to you and walk nicely with you. Expect this. Don't let the dog get out in front of you, because then the dog is the boss. You know that. Have the dog go right next to you. And what did the dog whisperer do when he had 25 dogs on leashes next to him? Where were the dogs?
Behind.
Right next to him or behind him. They were next to him or behind him. They were not out in front of him because he was the leader. Now, he did a pretty good shit job of being pulled by dogs behind him. But it was cool. It was really cool. But you see, this is the beauty of it. This is the beauty. Now, those three simple things, three idiotic things that anyone would say, well, I know that. Well, you don't, because you let your dog control you. And you think, well, hey, he wants to have fun. He is having fun doing things for you. That dog exists to give you pleasure. He doesn't exist to go out and chase rabbits and things like that. If you want him to do that too, because you think that's what a dog does, that's your business. But don't let him do it. You always give permission for anything he's going to do. You do not allow him to tell you what he wants to do. You tell him what he wants to do. And when you do that, then you are the greatest practitioner in the world. Now, when a person comes to you with a problem, the first thing you say, what can I do for you? Well, I got this. No. What can I do for you? Well, I got this. No. Well, what can I do for you? Well, you don't want to hear what my problem is. That's true. I want to hear what solution you'd like. You know? What do you want me to help you with? You want me to help you get worse, sick? Or you want me to help you get better, whole? So now, you tell me what you want. Now, do you want the dog whisperer to come in there and to show you how to handle the dog so that you and the dog can be happy together? Or do you want the dog whisperer to come in there and show you how to beat the living daylights out of the dog and take their strap and whip him and strap him and stuff like that? A lot of people do that, you know, because that's their nature. And that's not really what their nature is. So the dog whisperer, what does a dog do as soon as a dog whisperer is in the process of training him? He snuggles him. He snuggles the dog whisperer saying, somebody understands me. Somebody knows who my real inner self is. Somebody knows. And this is what a person who comes to a practitioner has been waiting to hear. Someone who says, okay, now let's have wholeness and perfection. Let's have right action. Okay, now, I say to you guys, you must stop hating people. You must stop hating anyone. If you hate somebody, you as a practitioner are pure hate and you are the slime of the earth, you know. If you are love, there's no room for hate. So then, if you're love, then everything is loving and there is no hateful circumstances anywhere around you. You don't have it. Now, a practitioner is a very delicate program because the practitioner is someone who knows the three rules of training a dog, not training a dog, of loving a dog. Because the practitioner, the dog whisperer, was not training the dogs. The dog whisperer was merely telling the dogs what he expected of them. And then the dog gave it. Now, is that true?
Yeah.
What did he say to one woman? You are whom? Cleopatra. Now, you're Cleopatra. Now, how does Cleopatra act? Cleopatra is very aloof, and Cleopatra has her dogs next to her, not in front of her. Cleopatra doesn't let her dogs run wild, and as or her men, or her country, or anything else like that. It is all under control behind her. Who is behind the king? Who is behind the queen? Who is behind Obama? Who is behind these people? Their followers. Those who believe in them. And as long as they believe in them, that king, that queen, that Obama, are going to be super people. But when the people lose confidence in them, they will be not followed. But how do the people lose confidence in their leader? When the leader doesn't take leadership. You respect Obama, he went brum right into work. The king comes, hey, I'm the king. And he doesn't have to announce that. Everybody knows he's the king. And they know that he's going to do interesting things. Not things that they always agree about but appreciate. But they know he taking his role. Now a practitioner, what does a practitioner do?
Takes responsibility.
And what is the responsibility they're taking? To see everything
In its original purity and integrity.
Very good, very good, very good. See everything as original purity and integrity. Okay? You got it?
Yes.
Now, I will go on sharing these things and telling you these things and blessing you these things, but if you don't want to follow them, after a period, I said 1 week, and next Tuesday 1 week is up, or he's probably before that, but I'm not going to say one more word to you after next Tuesday if you haven't chosen to do the exercise and have the benefit for yourself. Then that's too bad. Now, I brought home another exercise, and yes, and have you used that? No, you haven't. And do you care? No.
Yes.
No, if you cared, you'd use it.
I have a clean, nice sheet, so I am okay.
I've got one printed up for you.
Thank you, but I had one.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so that's one of these little sheets to help you with your eyes. Okay, now that's good. But my point is to always be very careful that when you're given a little seemingly unimportant thing to do by me, that it is, I'm here for the purpose of sharing with you and teaching you and showing you the way. Otherwise, why do you want me here at all? Why don't you just let me go? I'll take off and go over to Mars for a while.
You know? Or, you know. You're already there, Herb.
Yeah, but now they have Mars bars there, and so it's much more fun. You got them here, too?
I'll bring you some.
Oh, you'll bring me some. How nice of you. But again, well, we are everywhere, and we are all, and it's fun. But please realize that I don't give up, but I do have fun. So, you too have fun.
Yes.
And know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.